of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he is alive and active today, bringing salvation and healing to all who confess on the name of Jesus. If there was something or an example, because the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to say is a concept, is a person, and in some sort of ways is part of the Godhead and the mystery of the Scriptures. And for you to know the Holy Spirit, you must walk intimately with the Holy Spirit. We thank God for every place that we can sit sometimes and learn from it in a seminary. But there's nothing like having clear intimacy and walking and learning from him hand in hand. And if there's something that I can describe as an example of the person of the Holy Spirit, because he is a person. The Scripture is very clear that he is grieved. The Scripture is very clear that he has a mind. The Scripture is very clear that it is the person of the Holy Spirit. But I thought about the role of a mother, and I thought about my wife. She's a fantastic mom, like many moms here. And how many functions they have to carry out. And if you bear with me for a few minutes, a mother is a chef. She cooks for her family. A mother is a working woman. She works a job to help provide for her family. A mother can be an Uber driver. She drives the kids to school, to work, practices, and church. A mother is a teacher. She's always instructing and teaching her children on life and many times with homework. A mother is also a comforter, and she is like a healer. So one time, sometimes her kids get hurt or they get sick, there she is to try to bring the comfort and to try to bring healing. And most definitely always giving the aid and the medicine that is needed. She is like someone that is also cleaning. She washes and cleans and maintains the home. She is a leader. She has direction for her family and also leads at church or at work. She is a lover to her husband. She is intimate and a close friend. Mothers have many different functions, but they are still one person with one identity. They can do many different functions in the home, but they're just that one person and the identity. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. As we get to know the Holy Spirit in different ways, we see that many different functions are in the church. And he does many different functions throughout the Scriptures. But there's no shadow of a doubt that he is God. Like an egg, the egg has the shell, the egg white, and the yolk. Three within one. They all have different functions, but they are all still one God. God the Father, the creator of everything. Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God. And I'll take a pause there. I remember when I was a teacher and I was in a school that was very affluent in Puerto Rico, when I had to plant the church, I was bivocational for the first 6 years. No, I think it was for the first 7 years. I had to go back and be a bivocational pastor. And I was teaching children, and it was a very affluent school. So the seat in that school was $14,000 a year for each child. So it was the cream of the crop of the leaders in Puerto Rico. So many of them, unfortunately, since they are living wealthy lives, their heart grows cold to God. And many of them were atheists. And when I try to help them understand who Jesus was, I would take a British coin and I would take an American coin. And I would tell them, how do you know the difference? They almost weigh about the same amount. I said, they actually made out of the same material. I said, but the only way that you know the difference is the image of each coin. The image of the American coin has a very different image from the image of the British coin. And I would tell them, it's the same way that Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Yes.
That if there's some sort of way that you want to know God, God the Father, God Almighty, you have to look at his son, Jesus, who is the express invisible image of God. And then they had an understanding. And I would tell them, I said, the more you search for Jesus, the more you understand revelation of who Jesus is, the more you will know who the Heavenly Father is. And as we go into the function of the Holy Spirit, who, as the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God and the Savior of man, and the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our helper, our comforter. Three within one. And if I can just really read my notes this morning to you. Yesterday was more of a preaching. Today I would say is more just of a teaching, of an encouragement of what this church already stands on. The Holy Spirit. And I sensed it when you guys took the moment just to have reverence and let the Spirit of God begin to speak and let the gifts of the Spirit begin to manifest. So I hope that this morning, more than anything, teaching encourages you. The Holy Spirit is another like Jesus, and we can go to the scriptures, John 14:26. Would you go to John 14:26? And if you don't have your Bible, maybe you can pull out your phone and take the notes. It's always good to go back and make sure that whatever's communicated is in the scriptures. Amen. Puerto Rico, we say, es un disparate. We would say, hey, that's phony. That's not true. So it's always good to go back and check on yourself like a Berean. John 14:26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is another like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the Greek word is called the parakletos. The word para means alongside, and the word kletos means called. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. What a loving Father. He would not leave us, even though he had to return back to the Father, and he told his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And as we are here today, Jesus is preparing a place for us. And the scripture says he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Yes. Mm-hmm. But he didn't leave us alone in this test that we call earth. And it's a blessing because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Yes. But Jesus did say we will have troubles. And he gives us not only his peace, but his joy. But with that, he calls the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called another like Jesus to walk with you in every single place that you go to.
That's right.
He tells in the scriptures in John 15, and if I'm not mistaken, a part of it is in John 16. He said, it is good for me to go. Because if I don't leave, the Parakletos cannot come. Yes. And see, the interesting thing is that Jesus was only at one place at one time. And if you study the life of Jesus Christ, he never even traveled more than 100 miles. But what a deep impact he had. What a deep impact. That no matter what empire has come and gone, Jesus Christ and his church still remains.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Jesus walked in power. The Bible says that he was tested and he went inside the desert by the Holy Spirit. But when he endured the test, the Bible says, he came out with the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And he would always call to the Holy Spirit of God and to the Father. And that is so important for us, that the Holy Spirit is here. Why? Because, see, I may need something when I'm in my travels. And for example, my wife may be still in Springfield and I'm in my travels. And I can't attend to her and help her. But we have the confidence that the scripture says the Holy Spirit is not limited to reach her.
That's right.
The same thing with her loving parents and my loving parents. My father just had a surgery not so long ago. And one of the reasons that my mom wanted me to call is for me to find out how his stitches were removed. Dad just wanted me to share how his stitches got removed. And he wanted to make sure that I knew, and another day won't pass, that how his stitches got removed. And when I hear them and they find themselves in their golden years, how I want to go back to New York and be a comfort to them and be able to just put my arms around them and help them in their needs. And sometimes I could get a little bit choked up, but I have the confidence that the Counselor can be there with me.
That's right.
I have the confidence that the Comforter can be there. And that is why Jesus told his disciples, it is so important for me to go. Yes. Because if I go, the Holy Spirit will come, the one who is called alongside you.
Yes. That's right.
Can we just take a moment just to meditate on that?
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, God has literally sent his power to walk alongside of us. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven lives within you. And if you, like myself, want to know a little bit about more, and we want to walk more in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's good to know him.
That's right.
I remember when I was a boyfriend, we were dating. My wife, I tried to talk about the subject of marriage with her. And it was, I still remember like if it was yesterday. She just threw a cold bucket of water on me. And I'm trying to talk to her about the subject of marriage. And it was October, and we knew we were going to get married because we were courting. And she just says, until I am not engaged with you, we will not talk about the subject. And I was just like, whoa. And she was very firm, like right here where we were driving in the car, this stays right over here. And later on, I said, what you told me is true. I said, but are you having doubt about? She's like, nothing about doubt. She goes, it's like, we want to get to know each other a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And as we get to know each other a little bit more, I want to have assurance that you are going to be committed to me. Mm-hmm. And I use that story as a backdrop to say, if we want to know more and have more functions of the Holy Spirit, we must know him more.
That's right.
We must know what the scripture says about him. So for the next few moments, I'm just going to read my notes and read some of my scriptures. And I hope that it really just enriches your life to know more of who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a helper to us. He is a helper to us that he testifies all about Jesus. That's what John 15, 26 says. His whole job description, his role on this earth is just to lift up Jesus. So if you're a worship leader, if you're a children's pastor, if you're a businessman, and if you want to lead with the power of the Spirit of God, the more that you walk with the Holy Spirit in everything that you do, his whole job description is going to be to elevate Jesus.
That's right.
He won't put himself before Jesus. He won't put nothing before Jesus. Wherever his function is on this earth is to just testify and to make Jesus elevated and famous.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit also will abide in us forever. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that does not speak on his own authority. He does not speak on his own thoughts. But whatever he hears from the Father, he will tell you, the scripture says. So whatever, sometimes when you're feeling your conscience being spoken to, or when you feel a word comes in from you, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is bringing it from the Father and declaring it to you. And it's up to you and me to be able to decipher those words and say, the Father has just spoken to me. And I'll tell you something, just one word from God is enough.
That's right.
Just one word from God is sometimes all we need.
Yeah.
One word from God can heal you. One word from God can transform a situation. One word from God can take a dry season and bring a blessing season.
That's right.
That's right.
But it's all through fellowship and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and will remain in us. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. I said yesterday, I wasn't really born and raised in the church. And I'm thankful that I always went to churches that were with the full gospel. But I think I had like an engineer mindset because I wanted to see the mechanics of everything. I wanted to see how I believed in it, but I was like, how does a miracle work? How does grace really work? How is God going to change me, who's addicted to certain things, and how is he going to change me to be non-addicted anymore? Yes. And it was the Holy Spirit who was teaching me. The Bible says in 1 John that the Holy Spirit teaches you all things.
That's right.
For the glory of God. You just have to have hunger for him. You have to come ready and willing and say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me today? Holy Spirit, would you show me something through the scriptures of God? Let me not just read the word and let it be prose. May you just illuminate. May you put your magic, your sauce, however you want to call it. But would you speak to me so that when I see these scriptures, I will see them differently. Yes. Amen. Can I get a good amen?
Yes.
I know, and I said this yesterday. I know we're not in a Presbyterian church. I know we're a Pentecostal church. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all that Jesus has said to him. It's incredible to know that this is according to how much time you spend in fellowship with him and in the word. The time that you invest in prayer, in fellowship, and in the word, at the right time, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. I tell my children all the time, especially my both of them really, I tell them both. I say, when you go study, you can pray all you want and you can do all you want. But if you didn't see the book and you didn't study, you're not going to know the test. But I said, if you did your due diligence and when you pray, the Holy Spirit will be your helper.
Yes,
you could have taken that subject or that criteria in September, and you're taking the final in December, and you say, Mom and Dad, I haven't even touched that for months. But if you did your due diligence, The Holy Spirit will help him bring it to remembrance. And it's the same thing with us. When we need the scriptures, he'll bring the scriptures alive to us.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is the one who testifies of Jesus Christ. This is the one of his attributes. I already mentioned that. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of three things. It says in John 16, 8 and 9. He convicts the world of sin because the world does not believe in Jesus and the world walks in darkness. So the Holy Spirit is going in all over the world and convicting. And if I can share this story, it happened two times to me. And as I said yesterday, I didn't always walk in the Lord. I came from a broken family. I know that God came at the age of 11. The Holy Spirit came into my life at the age of 11. But my dad wasn't a solid Christian. It was only my mom. And my mom didn't drive. So I never experienced a youth group. I never experienced a youth camp. I experienced Sunday morning church. And in Spanish, we would call it domingueros. We were Sunday people. And that was once in a while we would go Sunday. So eventually that what was deposited in me had a leak out of my life. And I started to do different things. And I remember, though, how loving the Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
I remember I was in this club back in New York City, because that's where I was from. It was called the Limelight. And it was a Catholic church that was converted into an actual discotheque. And that night, I remember, and back then it was when Ecstasy's came out. And this is crazy. It was when Ecstasy's came out, and I went up to a certain part. And I remember I was a little bit tipsy. And I remember at that moment, my goodness, some presence just came in like this. Like right here from my right side. It came in like this. And it said to me, like if I was talking to myself. And it said, look at the people. And I looked at them and I said, they look like the living dead.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they were all into their parties. But they looked at zombies at the same time.
Yeah.
They were the living dead. And then immediately the Holy Spirit said, if Jesus was to come for his church, where would you be?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the fear came out. I'll lose my life without salvation.
Yeah.
And then it just left like that. Immediately.
Yeah. Wow.
And he was knocking on my heart. Trying to come back home.
Yeah.
And because of my rebellion. And as the scripture says, my stiff-neckedness. I had to wait another 3 years. And another 3 years I found myself in a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the same scenario. Just in a different part of the city. Once again, it just walked into that room. And as it walked into that room, again, it just showed me everybody. And everybody just looked like a zombie, a living zombie.
Yeah.
And again, if Jesus was to come for the church, where would you go? And right there, I was just honest. I said, I would go to hell. I would be condemned. And then right there, it left.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, a crisis happened in my life. Is when I really came to the Lord. So I don't believe that you always come to God through crisis. I believe what the scripture says in Romans, that he is kind and he is loving so that all should repent. And he was showing me kindness and he was giving me at that time visions of himself. Why? Because this is what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. And I was living a life of sin. And he was convicting me. And at that moment, I didn't want to believe in Jesus and I didn't want to serve Jesus. But he was convicting me and showing me, you're not right. You're not right. What does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts of righteousness and of justiceness. Righteousness to God and to men. He convicts the world of judgment. This is the division from evil and from good. And especially means deliverance and safety for the just. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to separate the evil from the good, from the righteous and from the just. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Sometimes you're looking for truth. Sometimes you're needing something for your family, a move, a decision. The Holy Spirit will guide you into that truth. Sometimes we want it fast. And sometimes the Holy Spirit detains himself because he's looking for intimacy.
That's right.
He's looking for that quality time. Because if he gives it to us too quick, I don't know about you, but I may just forget. I may say, I got what I got, and then just keep living my life. And what he's saying, no, I don't want that. I don't want to give you what you have. I want to spend time with you. The Holy Spirit will teach me about all things to come. He will prophesy my future and keep me aware of it. That is powerful. Let's read that verse. It's found in verse 13 of John 16. Can we go there real quick? John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come."
Yeah.
He will tell you. He will tell you beforehand about the future.
Yeah.
Some things he will withhold from you because sometimes we're not able to understand.
Exactly.
Or sometimes we may get fear.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really are intimate with him, he will tell you about your future.
Yes.
I remember when I was in Puerto Rico and before the move came. I didn't share yesterday. And I use my stories just to help you to understand. I said yesterday when Pastor Choco called me and he says, "Would you move?" And I said, "I'm going to do the right thing on Monday." I just text him. And my wife on Saturday said, "You should just do your name. You should put your name in." What I told her was, "Babe," I said, "I need a prophet who does not know me to speak this to me."
Mm-hmm.
And she just, you know, "I'm not going to win this one." So she's just very wise woman. She just didn't say much. The following week, I went to go visit my dad for Father's Day. We stayed there a full week. He calls me and he says, "Can you come to Springfield, Missouri so that we can interview you? And Doug Clay, the superintendent, wants to be able to meet you." And I said, "Pastor Choco," I said, "I can't be in Springfield at least 6 weeks." And in a nice way, I said, "If you're looking for somebody now, I'm not the guy." I said, "You should go to somebody else." And he goes, "Well, wait, speak to my assistant and she'll get your flights and come in." During that time, I had to go back to Puerto Rico because there was a church called North Place Church out of Texas that when the hurricane came, they were very generous to Puerto Rico. Very, very generous. Together with their church of men, they would send about 5 to 6 teams within 2 years. And we rebuilt about 4 churches all through that time. And this time, we had our new church, and they said, "Pastor Bert, we want to bless you. We're sending a special team." So I left my family in New York. I traveled back to Puerto Rico on Thursday night of that when my family was alone. My wife sent me a video of 7 months before, and we had a guest speaker. And as I looked at the video, I forgot about what he said. And at the end of the message, he came to me and he in front of the whole church, and he told the church, he said, "Church, don't be alarmed about what I'm about to say," he said. And he came to us and he said, "Puerto Rico is not your final destination." He said, "A door is going to open that you can't say no." And he said it 3 times. And he says, "Everything that you've done here for 17 years is going to be a template of where I'm sending you to go." The entire church witnessed the presence of God. The entire church witnessed that it wasn't just an arm of the flesh. Right after that, we had a meeting with all the core leaders. And they took us out to dinner because they were celebrating like a pastor's day. And someone from the church said, "Pastor, what about that word that man came and spoke today that you guys were going to move?" And I said, "You know the work that we have ahead of us." So I said, "Lovingly, we're going to bury that word today." This is what I said. "We're going to bury that." Why? "Because you know the work that we have here. Maybe in 3 or 5 years, we'll move." But I said, "We have a lot of work, so let's not." So I disregarded it. When my wife sent it to me that night, I heard the Holy Spirit just tell me, "Your assignment in Puerto Rico is over."
Yeah.
The week before, I told her, "I need a prophet that I don't know to tell me." And I didn't know that God sent him 7 months beforehand. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come.
Yes,
amen.
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 That's right.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Acts 1:1-16, we learn about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes with fire. The Bible says John baptized with water, but Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit and it's fire. To be baptized is to be submerged. Immersion of water, to be bound or to be close to someone. The Holy Spirit will continually baptize us over and over again. And that is something that I'm praying this morning. I'm praying that as we go to a point of worship, that God will begin to fill us again this morning. And I'm taking the time to talk about him, to praise him, to put our minds upon him, that when it comes to the time to receive, we will be open to receive.
Yes.
The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we receive power. We receive dunamis. We receive the dynamite power of God, that we can be bold and witness to others about Jesus Christ everywhere and anywhere. Now we go to the book of Romans. The Holy Spirit's power has freed us from the power of sin through Jesus Christ. The Bible says if the Holy Spirit controls our minds, we gain life and peace. The Holy Spirit controls us and not the sinful nature. And what happens is, if you're a new believer, you're having internally like a civil war going on. Because the old man wants to do certain things, but the Holy Spirit is coming in and bringing the new nature of Christ in you. Because the Bible says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And the Holy Spirit is deposited in your life to help you to be sanctified and justified before God. Now it's a journey. It's a process. You have a will. You have choices. But he has been given by God to help you be transformed and renewed. So sometimes the old man interiorly wants to go left, but the Holy Spirit interiorly is telling you, no, go right, continue the right way. The Bible calls that grace as well. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit and not the sinful nature. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and I praise God for that. Now we go real quick. The power of the Holy Spirit, we can turn from the sinful nature and evil deeds and live. The Holy Spirit speaks deep in our hearts and tells us we are God's children. The Holy Spirit searches all things and the deep things of God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. He is the one that possesses all the knowledge about God. That's why he is our teacher and the revealer. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. He imparts grace unto us. And Paul, who is a hero of walking with the Holy Spirit, and a hero of faith, says this to the Galatians church. Please listen. Galatians, and if anybody wants to read it from their Bible, they can. Galatians 3:1, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And what he was saying was, who has thrown a spell upon you?
Yeah.
Who has thrown a spell upon you, church? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This is only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? You have begun in the Spirit. Are you now being made perfect by flesh? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Amen. Amen.
And he was telling the Galatians church, who started out right, but in the midst of starting out right, they got caught up once again because some men have crept in with their old customs of Judaism. And as they crept in with their own customs of Judaism, they were going back to things of the law. And Paul, who was a Pharisee, a Hebrews of the Hebrews, had to come and boldly speak to them and say, who has put a spell on you when you started in the Spirit and now you're walking by the laws of men again, by the tradition of men? And he says to the church, didn't you start out in the Spirit?
Yeah.
And now you're doing things by the law.
Mm-hmm.
He tells them very clearly, make a decision and return back to the elementary steps of your faith. As I was sitting here yesterday and even this morning, I felt a strong sense of the Holy Spirit in both third songs. And I felt like the people wanted to come forth. And I felt that you wanted to erupt, is the word. Erupt. But for some sort of reason, something was holding you back. And I just came as a messenger. You started in the Spirit.
Yes.
You must continue
Amen.
In the Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't know what the 19 years have brought. I have heard it's been a year of hardship.
Yes.
I have heard that there has been losses and loved ones. I see that another family is going out elsewhere. And I take a moment to honor Elijah. Elijah, you don't know that act that you did in Winterfest. And not everybody knows, so I'll say it, but you and me know. As I was walking through the one day, Elijah just came and zipped open his pocket. And I was like, I thought he was going to give me an offering. And I was like, no, I don't need your money. And he said, no. And he goes, go preach the gospel. Because it's everything I have. It's $21.69, I remember. I was marveled. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 11. And I said, wow, you're really encouraging me. And I said, Elijah, I need to write this down and journal this and document this. And as I went with him and I said, Elijah, can I pray for you? And I have an envelope that I carry with me to many churches. And Elijah, your name has been spoken from the East Coast to the West Coast when I speak to churches about seeking safe. And I'm going to frame that envelope when I move to my new office. And what we prayed for you, I pray that the Spirit of God would do it. That the Spirit of the living God would do it. And I remember when I prayed for him, I said, Elijah, may God make you a pipe. May he make you a multi-millionaire so that you can give back to the kingdom. And what marveled me the most was his eyes. He looked at me. And I said, what happened? He goes, how'd you know my mind? He said, I've been praying that to God. And I said, Elijah, there's a gift in the Bible. There's different gifts of the Spirit. And there's one in the book of Romans that it talks about the gift of giving and generosity. And that's all I did, Elijah. I just prayed that gift over your life that as God has already imparted into you. And I say that to honor you and to honor your parents as you transition on, knowing that the Holy Spirit is all over you. The Holy Spirit is upon you guys. And I know that leaving is hard. You're talking to a family that just did it. But thank God when he knows how to care for our children. He cares for our children because it's the most valued possession we have. So church, if you would just stand with me. If we could just take a few moments. Can I just be Pentecostal? Just take a few moments just to welcome the Holy Spirit. Not that he's not here, but that he will come in greater portions. May you feel free to speak in your prayer language. But at the same time, may you be challenged to say, I started in the Spirit, but I'm not walking as much as I used to walk in the Spirit. I've been leaning more on the natural things. I've been leaning more on the traditions of men and not walking by the Spirit. If I can have someone accompany me maybe with the guitar. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit. We need you. We take a moment and open our hearts. We spoke about you this morning. We know that the name above every name is Jesus. But the scripture says that he is at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit, you are the one that is called alongside us.
Amen.
I pray this morning that you begin to impart your comfort to those that are mourning. To those that have a loss, have experienced a loss. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just begin to comfort supernaturally. I pray for those, Holy Spirit, that have been seeking direction. And they have found themselves in moments of just, they need the direction. I pray that they will hear from the throne of heaven and you will speak to them. We ask, Holy Spirit, this morning, for those that probably are going through a desert, would you just refresh them? Would you just bring refreshing upon their lives? Holy Spirit, I pray for those that maybe have been in a place that is not pleasing you. I pray that the fire of your Spirit will consume and bring purity in every area of their lives. And we just begin to open this. We pray that your gifts will operate. We pray that the gift of prophecy will move forward, because it edifies. It edifies your body. It edifies your people, God. So we thank you for this. We thank you for this. So I want to do this in a very orderly manner. Just very orderly. If there's anyone here that says, I need just the filling of the Spirit, would you just come to the front? And it doesn't take my hands. It can take any one of our hands. The Bible says we shall lay hands on them, and they shall speak in new tongues. The Bible says they shall be filled, but we have to be all accord. We have to be united. And if there's anybody, the altar is open this morning. And I can use the help of the elders of the church, so that we can just take some moments in prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know that song, Let It Rain? Look at the hunger of the younger generation for the Spirit of God. Amen. He's just going to do the work. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work. You don't have to do anything. The Bible says it's just a gift. It's a gift. Just ask Him for it before we begin to lay hands. Just ask Him for it. Say, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Holy Spirit, would you fill my life? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Spirit will come in the name of Jesus. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that the fire will consume right now. God.
Thank you. in the mighty name of Jesus. God is your child. You have called him by name. He is yours. Give him courage. Give him boldness. God, I thank you for his tender heart, that it will continue to be tender heart towards you. And for him to listening to the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for all of these youth, God. For your hand of the Lord.
What would that thank be? Be? Would it be for
and
healing?
Right now,
would it be for a direction? And also, in response to the prophetic word that came earlier, maybe you're recommitting your life to the Lord already, and you want us to pray and receive that encouragement to come on up. Or if you just want to respond to that word that came earlier, that the Lord is calling you, just come on up and we pray with you. I want to spend a little more time in the presence of the Lord, just seeking the Lord and ministering to those who come forward. Just keep pressing a little longer.
Thank you.
We want to transition right into baptism. So I think we have at least one person to be baptized. So we're going to do the baptism at the pool. So we want to make our way over to the pool where Pastor Kenny will do a baptism. And if there's anybody else who needs to be baptized, then you can also be baptized at that same time. Then lunch comes after baptism. So we make our way back to the cafeteria here and have lunch together. Then in the afternoon then we'll have canoeing and crafts.
I just have a little something.